And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning. It is November 9th, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Josh, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to once again, Lord, get up and be men in the kingdom, Lord. Thank you for the blessings and the opportunity, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for our country, Lord, and for everything you've given us. Lord, we pray that you forgive us of our sins, that you cleanse us, purify us, perfect us, Lord. Help us to start with a clean slate this morning. Lord, pray that you help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, and know every step along the way that what we're doing, that we're in your will, Lord, following the path you've got laid out before us. Lord, we pray for our families, pray for peace in our families, Lord. Pray that you help us to have our households in order, Lord, so that we could afford that protection that you give us, Lord, whenever we are lining up and where we're supposed to be, Lord. Pray that you help us to keep that covering about us, Lord, and all that we do. Pray that we wouldn't shrink back and we'd be mighty Christian soldiers, Lord, and continue to usher in the kingdom, Lord, here on earth. Lord, we just thank you so much for everything. For all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate that. Well, there's a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, but we'll go ahead and turn it over to you, Paul. What do you want to start off with this morning?
Well, I really don't know. I was just waiting on you. But well, I guess our man Trump got in. I don't know what that really means. You know, I don't hear people talking much about it at all in the streets and stuff. I don't know. But I just really don't know. I have a mixed opinion about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't feel like we have to know 100%. Because it is so seldom whenever you do. But, and I guess with AI, and they could make up things and cut, copy, and paste. But saw a video of him talking about Jesus here this week, and he was in a church and talking about how we needed, our country needed a savior, and it wasn't him. And, you know, he talked about Jesus being that savior, and it was a pretty good little clip. But I tell you what, I can't recall hearing the word Jesus Christ come out of another candidate's mouth. Now, whether it's real or not or whatever, but I can't judge him and where he's at. But I can look at the fruits and see what he says. And I'm definitely hopeful that he would be at least the tool God's using to bring us in the right direction.
And I really believe that I believe that it is in so many ways. I mean, I was talking with some with a welder earlier this week, and you know, he was complaining about how bad Trump was and this and that and this. And you know, the thing is you got one candidate, and this is what I told him. And maybe it's just because those unions made him told him that he had to vote Democrat. Maybe that's why he, you know, wanted to vote for the Antichrist. I'm not sure, but it was, you know, I said basically on one side you've got one that professes to be a Christian and actively uses the name of Jesus Christ and says that he's a Christian, and on the other side you've got somebody that says that when protesters are saying Jesus Christ is king, he are told that they're at the wrong rally and they need to go somewhere else. It's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, that it is. It really is. But there's so many things that are wrong. That, you know, if you didn't know, it'd be great. You know.
Absolutely. Well, and I think curse
the man that trumpeth the man. You know, and I do believe God spared his life when he turned his head, and you know, God's hand is in this whole thing. So he used Nebuchadnezzar too, also.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that, it's one of the things, and it's what we've been saying, and it's what we need to continue to do as a people, is cry out and continue to pray 7 Chronicles 7:14. You know, we want this land healed. We want it to turn back to God. And, I'm encouraged by it. I think that there's more people that are, continuing to wake up. And I think that we're seeing that, down in Florida with this Hurricane Milton. Me and some gentlemen were talking about it last night, and they basically came in. FEMA came in and told them, don't help any houses that have trunk in front of them. And it came after the scrutiny of the slow response to the hurricane that hit down there in Asheville. And so they were basically trying to say that, okay, now we want to do this, and this is going to make we're not going to help these people. It's active war. That's an act of war as far as I'm concerned.
They showed their colors. They showed their real colors. Insult, give them $700. And they're giving billions to their enemies. It's cut and dried what's going on.
Yeah, this one says exclusive FEMA officials ordered relief workers to skip houses with Trump signs. A federal disaster relief official ordered workers to bypass the homes of Donald Trump supporters as they survey damage caused by Hurricane Milton in Florida, according to international correspondence obtained by the Daily Wire and confirmed by multiple federal employees. A FEMA supervisor told workers in messages to avoid homes advertising Trump, as they canvassed Lake Placid, Florida, to identify residents who could qualify for federal aid. International messages viewed by the Daily Wire revealed the supervisor in Washington relayed this message both verbally and in group chat used by relief team. Multiple government employees told the Daily Wire. And it's a really good article. I got it posted up on our newswire. But it just shows you, and I think that that's what we're talking about. We're continuing to talk about it, and we continue to use the words they and us. And there is definitely being there is a separation. There's a separation right now. We talk about the goats and the sheep, but I think it's becoming more clear all the time that it's the tares and the wheat.
My wife and I were just having the conversation this morning, the separation that is more evident now than ever. And I don't know if it's that folks have changed and went to the other side more, or if they were already to that extent, I don't know. But I was listening, you talk about that in the Florida thing. He put those messages on group. If you wanted to do something, communicate without getting caught, you wouldn't do it in a group chat. You wouldn't do it in email. So they want it to get out that if you're for Trump, you're not going to get what they can give you. I mean, that's apparent for those
right
actions. If you look at the actions, they want people to know that, hey, you're not going to get FEMA if you get Trump. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get that. You're not going to be able to live this government-fed lifestyle. If you want Trump, and that is war. That's what that is right there. They're trying to recruit for their side, people that want to live on a handout. The power of the wallet. Yeah, you're right. And that's what we talk about that regularly, speaking with your wallet, not with you, just your mouth,
Well, in the meantime,
we've looked at Washington for way too long for our remedies, look at the Devil City, look at all that thing is laid out. It's the Devil City, and they're showing their colors. I mean, they definitely are the tares. So, depending on the government, is a false god. All things come from God. I've read about hurricanes that came in the south a long time ago, and there was no federal assistance in any way. They helped themselves, and that's what we're really supposed to do. The Amish got to figure it out. Take care of your own.
And I've seen that firsthand, and it works so much better. And if there was one reservation that I'd have with the Trump thing and him winning and all, it'd be that people just take a sigh of relief and then back up and don't keep pushing forward. They look to him as the answer, and, oh, we got the answer, you know. And praise God was the deliverance, and they jump right back on Facebook and TV and not do anything different and not make a difference.
Well,
there is a refining process that comes from the heat of persecution. And I just pray that it don't have to be turned back up, that we can take, you know, a good toehold and build off of that, not have to go back to having even worse rulers.
Well, and one of the things, the other things, I mean, just let's set aside what, you know, who got in for president, but let's look at who, you know, what we got in for Senate too this time. Excuse me. And I did not know a lot about, you know, a lot of these senators, but I started looking up some of them, and I'm impressed with a lot of stuff that they're putting out. Basically, I think we got more Christians in Senate than we ever have before. And then you look at the House of Representatives, and it was I started looking at some of these a lot of these House of Representative people, and it's like, you know, very, very, very impressive. And I mean, when's the last time that we had an election that went like this? I don't think that we ever have, as far as Senate, Congress, and presidential. And I mean, you look at the adversaries, the people that were running against, you know, for the Senate seats and for Congress and House of Representatives and stuff. And you look at them, and it's like, I'm really glad people voted and fought for the people, because it is basically, I mean, it's pretty straight across the or straight down the line. It's, you got Antichrist on one side, and you've got people confessing to be Christians on the other side.
Well, I didn't know. My wife was schooling me a little bit this morning on the Robert Kennedy deal and him more or less waging war on the FDA and, you know, everything that's going on with that. And that's a pretty big deal there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You're familiar with that?
And I'm not very familiar. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about it? I've heard bits and pieces, and I'm not sure, but then I wanted to talk about the U.S. Department of Agriculture as well. But go ahead with that, Josh.
Well, if you want to pull up an article on it. But more or less, the Robert Kennedy fellow is talking about going to work for Trump. And my understanding is, and like I said, I just browsed over an article my wife was telling me about it, but more or less that he told them that you know, pretty much only two things that you need to do, which is back up all your documentation and all, and get out, is what I understand, because he's a known anti-vaxxer and, you know, is pretty vocal about everything that's being done by the FDA, which is, you know, supposed to be supporting our health and whatnot, but it's actually an attack on it. And so I don't know if you found an article on it or not, but it's very encouraging for me to hear that, because that's a big thing. And at least around here anyway, there's been a lot of division, a lot of lines drawn about the vaccine stuff. And there's so much information on, so much misinformation on health and the way that, you know, we should live. And
yeah, I pulled up an article on it, and it says that, you know, he wants to pull a bunch of the vaccines off the market, saying that they're not safe. He wants to target the F in FDA. He's going after basically, yeah. I mean, it's saying that there's going to be people fired, and we're starting over in the FDA, so that's encouraging.
Very much.
Well, that's what I think you showed with peer-reviewed science. You know, I mean, it's just a country club for scientists. You know, all you have to do is take it the right place. Those peers, they all believe the same thing. And it's like, that's not statistical. That's not reality. That's not anything peer-reviewed. Really? I mean, how is a peer-reviewed situation good? They act like it really makes a difference, you know. It's like, no, there's no...
Well, when both sides are funded by the government, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a... Yeah, don't color outside the lines, you know. This is the coloring book. It's stay in the lines, and you can be a member of the club, you know, if you want your grant, if you want your... research, and if it doesn't say what we want, well, then you're not part of the club anymore. You know, it's like, that's not, I heard one professor at a university say peer-reviewed, whenever you hear that word, that's junk science immediately. It's not real. It's like, okay.
That's pretty much the old saying that I lied and you swore to it. I mean, that's pretty much the...
Yeah, it shows that distinction that was talked about earlier between the wolf and the sheep, between the goats and the sheep, between, you said it, Jason, the tares and the wheat. And it's the tares that have been running things. You look in the, we're hearing that that's going to happen in the upper echelons of the military as well, because you've had 8 years of Clinton, 8 years of Obama that have pushed and promoted these tares, wolves, goats into these positions of authority, whether it's in leadership in the military, leadership in FDA. Jason, you mentioned USDA. You know, you see it all over. BLM, they're not out there to help the farmer. They're not out there to bring conservation and stuff. They're out there to steal, kill, and destroy, because it's what they do. And then you do. It's a new... I'm not going to say a new era, but people have opened their eyes, had their eyes opened to, you know, the filth of the, you know, the sin of the transgenderism, the lies that come from everybody, the lies from FEMA. Oh, we're here to help you, unless you're a Trump supporter. Heck, that was a headline this morning on the news. You know, that's not that's not the Babylon Bee bringing stuff up. That's headline news this morning. And so, you know, the things that the enemy have been doing are being exposed. But I agree wholeheartedly. I think, you know, now's the time to continue pressing forward. You might take a breather this week, catch your breath, relax, reload, and replan to move forward. Because we do. As Christians, we need to... You know, we've talked about how, with the way things are going, people are more receptive to the truth than ever. Well, they still are, because they got off their couch and went out and voted. You know, the Christian, the conservative in this nation outnumbers the enemy, outnumbers it. It's just that they rarely get up off the couch and go vote and let their voice be heard. And they did this year. And that's a change. That's different. And again, I think it shows that we have a great opportunity as a remnant to continue to put forth the, you know, the message of the gospel, the greatest commandment: love God, love your neighbor. And I think we're seeing leadership now, either just elected or coming in the first of the year, that feel that way, and it's a different spirit in the land. A different feeling. I've had three different people email me that they sense that, and that's a good thing.
Well, and it was interesting on Election Day when I went to town. There was something that was different. There was a peace and a calmness about a sobriety about people out in just out in general public. You could feel it. It was just a humbling feeling. I'm trying to figure out the words to describe it, but it was different and it felt good. And it felt like, it was like, okay. And I really believe that it was, you know, God answering prayers. I mean, there was a lot of people that were praying, and I think that there was, you get that many people praying, and it definitely, has changes of frequency of the land. And it was exciting, and it was good to feel and to experience. One of the things that I was really excited to see too is when Trump came out and said that basically he said he was talking about those that from the disaster that happened over in Afghanistan, and he was talking about payback for the troops that were fired that refused the vaccinations. And there was a lot of people that were fired and lost their jobs, lost their pensions, lost a lot of stuff, basically because it was it wasn't just mandated, but basically they were told you don't have a choice. You got a choice. You can either leave or you can lose your job, or you take the vax. And they ended up a lot of them said no, we're not doing that, and were fired because of it. Didn't get their pensions, got a lot of their benefits that were taken away. And, you know, he said that we're paying them back and we're giving them their jobs back. And, you know, that's huge. One of the things that, you know, a lot of people out there, they know that where we stand on as far as the vaccinations. And Pastor Peter's got a very good book warning vaccinations are dangerous. And, it is just a really good booklet that explains a lot of that. But it's, you know, we're seeing people that are standing up and saying no, and that's encouraging.
Well, you know, after this, too, I've noticed in people, I didn't see nobody bragging that we won about Trump at all. It's a humbler attitude out there that, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, we won. But I think people realize that there's still a big war to fight. And it's not done.
And in regard to that, I think that's an interesting kind of a, you know, in the Financial Times, why Larry Fink came in with he's the CEO of BlackRock, and he came out and said, well, I'm just tired of hearing this is the biggest election in your lifetime. The reality is, over time, it doesn't matter. And that's that's their attitude. They think that, you know, a lot of times you wonder, it's like, well, how do they, you know, they get thrown back, they get this, but they just keep on. But that's their attitude. They're like, well, we're going to work with both people. And I don't know about anybody else, but when I just have this, that's an 11, that's a asset management fund. They're worth like $11.5 trillion or something like that. I mean, can you imagine that? That's more money than some countries, you know, GNP or asset base. But, you know, our job is to be working with the U.S. government. You know, we build a platform together, and we're not making any judgments. But the truth of the matter is, I look at those people's names just like that a lot of times, and it's strange how those names, Larry Fink, I mean, it used to be a cartoon app called The King, and they always were talking about the king being a fink. But anyways, I think that you look at a lot of that, they sell themselves. And I don't think you put the name of Jesus in your mouth without empowering Jesus Christ. I mean, whether you want what he wants or not, you know, Isaiah 55:11 says, so will my word, which goes out of my So will my word be, which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. That's the word that comes out of God's mouth. When you put God's words out of your mouth, you're tying into that, whether regardless it's going to be that way. So there are things there that are, you know, up and coming, that and it's all part of God's plan. It wouldn't be that way if he didn't want it that way.
Well, look at the Bible, people in the Bible that cast out demons and healed people in Jesus' name, and God said, I don't know you. The name is powerful, extremely powerful, good or bad. You know, you better know what you're using, you know, when you start talking, because they can go either way. You know, you can be deceived, too, just, you know. But those people were, he said, you lawless ones. And that's the thing. We want the law of God back in this country. You know, it's run right now by the UCC, Universal Commercial Code. The whole court system is that.
I heard a judge say one time, he said, if you bring up that Constitution one more time, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court. He was telling you that the law is not anymore. So that's the law we need back. It's real law.
Amen. It's accessible to everyone.
Well, and one of the things that I was really encouraged about, and I just want to start off with 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And, you know, that's one thing that we hear at Scriptures for America, and, you know, a lot of our people have been talking about for a number of years, and it's, you know, this regenerative agriculture and how that is, you know, that is, I really believe, you know, God's way of getting back to, of healing the land, you know, getting away from the pesticides and the herbicides and the pharmakia of the land, basically, and going back to, you know, cover crops and how, you know, planting different things and doing different farming practices are actually healing the land. And I was really encouraged about, you know, Joe Salatin this week. We carry several books by him. He's just got some really, really good information. He came out this week and he made a comment on, I think it was on X, about how, Thomas Massey from, Kentucky would be a perfect candidate for U.S. Department of Agriculture. And Massey's been in meetings with Trump, and it looks like, I'm not sure if he's going to be head of U.S. Department of Agriculture, but it looks like he's going to have a position in there. And that is huge. It's a game changer. It's something like we've never had before. And I believe, I mean, I'm looking at this, and I believe that this is, you know, healing the land. I'm a firm believer that if we change our practices like that, that the land will be healed. I mean, the lag has been stagnant and dead for a long time. And, I mean, I believe that this is one of his ways.
You know, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's a process. It's not something that just snaps and happens overnight, but it's a process. You know, you've got people like Gabe Brown and Joel Salatin and those that have been pushing that for what, over a generation now, that have been doing it. And look what's happening in the land. Those places, that part of the land is being healed, turning back to God. And you're seeing little pieces like that all over the country. The farmers markets that are booming, the home, you know, more people raising their own beef and a beef to split with the neighbor, and having eggs and gardens and things like that. I've got a neighbors live about 10 miles up the road, and a young couple, they're in their, I don't even know if they're 30 yet. He's an engineer. She works online at home. They've got one little boy, and they've got a hoop house, and they are homesteading bees and chickens and just all types of stuff. And they're like in their late 20s. Yeah, I don't think they might be 30. And they've got three or four other friends about their age that are doing the same thing. And so it's encouraging. You know, heck, when we were in our 20s and 30s, we were doing that. And so it's encouraging. But you're right, Jason. It's those things, like 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, it heals the land. And you know what? He heals the sin as well. I think that he is able to give us that example that he says, listen, if you do it my way, look, the land is healed. Well, guess what happens? You know, if he'll heal the land, what do you think he'll do with us? Not only forgive us, but heal us as well. And that's part of that process, I think, of healing us is healing the land and using that for our healing. And it's like we said, it's in all aspects, there's a different spirit. And it's not a spirit of, we won, hoo-hoo, let's party, let's be like L.A. when the Dodgers win the World Series and burn the place down. No, it's just the opposite. It has been almost like a, whew, we made it, you know, at least to the next step, to the next level. And now we gear up and go on.
You know, I hear people talk about, look at kids today. I says, yeah, look who raised them. But then you get what you're just told us. You know, you look back when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, everybody over 20 died because of their sin. There's a new generation coming out, and that ain't, people have been concerned about their food. I've watched it for a long time. They come, I asked Robert, they come here where they use sprays on them. I said, no. I said, absolutely no. Well, sprays or nothing like that. Well, they don't even care if it's organic. They just want to know if it's good, you know, because organic is kind of a cult-like religion in itself. But there's got some, like, really good stuff, but it ain't the end of the matter because, you know, I raised some open-pollinated corn quite a few years ago, and I had 4 acres of it, and my dad said, well, it's all going to fall down, and it did. First year, about 2 foot long, it hit me in the forehead, and it was another one higher, but it was just beautiful corn. But what I noticed, if anybody know what velvet leaf is, it's a corn weed that people have dealt with for years, but there was that velvet leaf in that field got about knee-high and never set a seed pod. See, our whole hybridization thing has gone off the track. You know, the food quality is, you know, if you look at what how much iron is in the spinach in around 1900 and is now, it's bankrupt, you know, because of our practices. You know, you got to heal the land. And one less thing, don't be in a hurry. You know, you got to get that. It's just like anything. You get, you know, if you buy a lawnmower or a baler or anything, you run it way over capacity, you're going to wear it out just like that. But if you run it just a little under, it'll last forever. And that's what we're doing with the soil. We're running, you know, first of all, they got in debt. Now they got to pay the banker, so they have to farm right on through everything. And it's like, who makes the rules? I said that for years. Who makes the rules, God or the man? The man's rules ain't working real good, and we're figuring that out. But like I said, I never seen anybody gloat over this win. Not one person. In fact, it's quite humble. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, that I was going to go there too, Paul. That's First Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And a lot of times it's money comes in many forms. It can be paper, it can be gold, it can be silver, it can be a lot of things. But, it says some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And we don't realize a lot of times that was kind of the root of this, you know, evil in our agribusiness was, you know, as soon as they got into this speculative farming and money angle and everything else, which they do with everything. If there's any benefit to be gained from anything, well, the next thing you know, it's financed. It becomes all this issue over this love of money. It's like God said in Hebrews 13:5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he said, I will never desert you. And it's just one of those things a guy's got to guard against all the time, you know. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to have some to get along in this world, that you don't have bills to pay or anything like that. But when that's your primary motivation, in all sorts of evil and many griefs. You know, so I can sure see that.
Well, the Bible says that you're subservient to the lender, and then you get in a position, if you got a house payment, whatever it is, you know, you're in a whole different world. Everything's paid for and stuff like that. That's a whole more relaxing, and you can actually be more productive if you're not a slave. You know, I used to hate get up every morning, you know, but on Sunday morning, I'd wake up early and just like that because I didn't have to go to work and stuff. But I'm just telling you, when you're not under pressure, it's a different world, and financial pressure is destructive. Ask Joe Sullivan. He had people come to him, wealthy people. He says, what are we going to do about our food, you know, if that's in that book? And these weren't radicals like me. They were just established people that could see what was coming. And these people down the road from you, Richard, they can see what is coming. They don't, they're working, but they don't believe in the system. That's why they're doing what they're doing.
It was one of the things that, you know, we're talking about, you know, election results and the way that things happen in different places. There was a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of videos of these liberal tears that are of people, you know, crying these crocodile tears, complaining about what's happened, and just bawling and bawling and bawling. And you listen to them, and it's very obvious that they have no idea what they're talking about. There was, I talked to several people and they had businesses or where they worked. They were called the morning after the election and told that they could take the day off if they needed to take the day off for a therapy day. And some other places, they called it a therapy day at a lot of places, and they called it a mental health day at other places. You know, depending on where you worked, they were, you know, just, you know, a paid day off just to cope with things. It's been funny because I've seen some videos of people in it. I mean, they're just bawling their eyes out over what's happened, and you listen to them and it's just they are just so completely indoctrinated and uneducated. And this is what we would call, what the world calls, you know, higher education people. It seems like are the most uneducated people that we have out there.
Absolutely. They're indoctrinated up to the ears, and they can't think outside of their degree. They think that degree means something.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I saw that. Go ahead, Josh.
Back to the, and so it ties into that, but that's where they've been educated. That's what we have been taught, you know, with the money thing, that money is what matters. And that's why a lot of that stress and pressure that Paul's talking about, coming from worrying about if you're going to have enough money or not, that's, we shouldn't do that, because that's out of line, because we know that God's going to provide for us. And worry doesn't accomplish a single thing in the world. All it does is hurt you. It hurts your health. It steals your joy. It steals your time. I'm not saying to go out there and borrow whatever and not worry about it, but we got to have our gods in order. And Jesus Christ has got to be the one that's, you know, top. And not, we talk about slavery like it's such a terrible thing, but we know that we're all supposed to be slaves to Christ. You just better choose a good master, you know, because there are a lot of good folks out there that can help you. And you can take, borrow money and invest it and do and, you know, make profit. But you just got to pray about it and be led. And, you know, the parable of the master that left the talons of silver, you know, for his folks to invest. I mean, that wasn't necessarily a bad situation for the borrower or the lender, you know. But well, I guess, you know, the main thing I'm focusing on is the worry. We shouldn't worry about things that don't matter.
Right.
But people have no vision. This lady, I showed her, you know, she wanted a Kia, a cheap car and stuff like that, and I run a pencil on it. When she paid for it, she would have paid $30,000 for that, you know, $10,000-$15,000 car, you know, with insurance and everything else. But it's, oh, I can make the payment. But that's all they think. They don't see down the road. If you go buy a $3,000 car and pay LPD on it, and then you save your money, you could buy one someday if that's what you really wanted. But by the time you got that smart, you probably wouldn't even want one.
Yep.
Well, and I think
about
so much of this stuff, but I think that now is the time, is we need to continue, as you know, the remnant is to be that light into this world, and we need to continue to, you know, try to educate and try to be, you know, a pillar of light, and continue to educate people. You know, I mean, there's still a lot of stuff, we're going in the right direction, but we still got a lot of things to do. And I mean, I think that I think one of the things that you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, believe that you need to steer away from, so to speak, and that's the, you know, Christian identity, you know, message. You know, I think that there's a lot of people that, you know, as they are hungering and thirsting for truth right now, is for people to wake up to who they are, what they are. And, you know, that's one of the things that we've been pushing really hard is, you know, who is Israel and who is, you know, who we are as a people. And I believe that that in the future is going to become, you know, more important, and a more important message than than it has been in the past.
Well, I read a journal more of books, and it made all the sense in the world. See, as identity, we want to tell everybody who we are, but most people aren't ready for that. They don't care who they are. They're so basic. You got to, just like a kid, you got to learn to walk before you can run. And I just believe that's we shouldn't start there.
No,
you know, but I tell you how I'll tell you what really works. You know, well, you know, who's Israel? You know, I said, well, you know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Now he had 12 sons. Now you want me to just believe that just Judah is the only one that's saved? That shuts them right up. I mean, somebody that knows the Bible a little bit, I mean, they did that stops them right in their tracks, because you know Israel is Jacob's children, and there's 12 sons. There ain't just one. And all them little arrows on your $1 bill, there's 13 of them, because Joseph birthright went to Esau and Manasseh. Not Esau. You know who I mean. That's why there's 13 arrows. And it's on, and that symbol has 13 and everything, and that's because of that. You know, because Jacob gave his birthright to his sons.
Amen.
But thankfully, you know, we do have the milk and the meat, and it's there for everyone, and you know the word talks to you wherever you're at, and so I definitely see the point of having that information available, you know, but also too, whenever there's a land that needs to know, when they're at the point of needing to know what sin is, you know, that's a whole different conversation, whole different level, you know, who the true chosen people are. And I was thinking, we talk about it regularly, that you're not going to just change somebody's mind. You're not going to take a hammer and beat it into them. You know, we got to be in prayer about it, always being that light to shine and show them something different, and then be accessible. You know, somebody, when there's a conversation, you know, put in enough truth and knowledge and scripture, and then whenever you see that person start shutting down, I mean, Paul's one of the best at this, is, you know, quit, shut up, like, abandon the conversation, you know, don't try to force feed them.
Well, that's the thing, you got to meet them where they're at, not where you're at, you know, and we want everybody to jump up to where we are. Well, I didn't just get there, it took a lot of years, you know, when I lost interest in the church, I knew they wasn't interested in the truth, and I didn't have no teacher. When I read the Bible on baptism, I got out of concordance and read everything on baptism. Well, I knew I needed to be baptized, so I went to a Baptist church and got baptized. They said outward sign for an inward grace. Now, that right there threw a lot of people off the tracks, because baptism is for the remission of sin. But, yeah, I've been baptized. Ask anybody, even one of them, I've been baptized. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. That's a choice. That's, nobody can do it for you. You've got to make that choice. That's what it amounts to, and that's the road I went down, and I got there. So, and then tonight I got directed to Scriptures for America, which was a real lifesaver.
Well, yeah, we have Hebrews 5:12, you know, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have a need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles, the actual words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. That's not a slam. That's just where you're at. You know, I mean, I suppose there are people out there who just don't mature, you know, I mean, it's like, or don't mature right now. You know, we'd all like to hurry that process up. Grow. Sure. You know, you try that as a farmer. I mean, it comes up in its season, you know, and it's harvested in its season, and it doesn't matter how much you, how eager you are for that to happen, it happens at its own rate and at its own pace. And so a lot of times we're anxious for it to see that fruit come, but it comes at God's, you know, at God's time frame, and it comes at the ability of that person to grow at that rate. So when we see those kind of things, it's just like, but the milk will keep you alive. But if you want to grow beyond that, you know, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to do that, then you have to get onto that solid food. And I think that is a solid food thing. I mean, that's one of those elements. You just, you, you know, that mail's written to a particular group of people. It's called the Bible, and that's their story and their goings on. When you begin to understand that and you begin to read it from that point of view, it changes the way you interpret it, the way you view it, and the way you apply it to your life.
Well, there's no room for pride in that ideal. That's why there's different members of the bodies, because we've all got strengths and weaknesses. And there are certain areas that, yeah, I'm stronger in, and I want meat. And there's other ones that I myself need the milk on because I'm not strong there. And thankfully, there are other people that are that can help with that. And I'm not just saying people, but looking to the Word and growth. But we've all got our strengths and our weaknesses, and that's what makes us so good together.
Well, and I agree with you, Josh. It's and that's the way that the body of Christ is, and you know we've got to continue to, you know, look at that and recognize that. I recognize that in my children. You know, some of them are, you know, stronger in other areas than other ones are. You put them together and they're doing a job. You know, every one of them has their own part that they can do. And, you know, do I want them to learn the other parts and to function differently? Absolutely. That's part of growth, and that's part of what we're supposed to be doing. I was encouraged by I've talked to a lot of people. We've got a fantastic book on the dangers of fluoride. I can't remember the exact name of it, but we've carried it for a number of years. And that's something that we've, you know, constantly talked about is how dangerous fluoride and having fluoride in the water is and what it causes the effects of it. This week, and I've talked to a lot of people about it, and you know, they've just looked at me and said, if it was bad for you, the government wouldn't be putting it in the water. And I mean, that is their response. And I want to, after saying that, I want to read this, but this is, This comes from Kennedy. It says, Kennedy has explained one of his key steps to making America healthy again involves removing fluoride from municipal water supplies. Concerned over studies showing it lowers children's IQ, causes cancer, and triggers other harmful effects. On January 20th, the Trump White House will advise all U.S. water systems to remove fluoride from public water. Fluoride is an industrial waste associated with arthritis, bone fractures, bone cancer, IQ loss, neurodevelopmental disorders, thyroid disease, and so on and so forth. And that's huge.
Real huge.
Amen.
And one of the things that, I mean, a lot of the side effects of it that we haven't talked about is, like, you know, making men docile and turning people into queers is something that Pastor Peters told me that that's why he suspected that it was originally put into the water system.
Well, they used to feed it to lions, tame them down so they could handle them. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the things I read years ago that, you know, they know it makes people, it makes them lose their spite. You know, and anger is a good thing. It's just not supposed to abuse it.
Amen.
Well, and it's so corrosive that, you know, they built the, from a mechanical point of view, I mean, but it's so corrosive. They use the injectors that inject it into your water. They're all built out of pretty high-grade stainless. And they have to replace those units on a regular basis because it literally destroys them. I mean, you know, I mean it corrodes it and destroys it until, and a lot of people don't understand. You know, we have copper pipes, which are some, you know, did have at one point in America's history, and copper pipes were, you know, considered at the time to be like the bomb because you didn't have any bisphenols in them, didn't have other things, but the reason that they went away from copper was because the fluoride just destroys the copper. You know, I mean, it literally corrodes it, eats it away, and it's gone. It's not stainless. And it also leaches, so they've gone to these, you know, to more of a plastic type water supply line now, and it leaches the chemicals out of that. And you get some more chemicals. So, you know, it's a, depending on which side of the equation you're on, it's either a kind of a lose-lose or a win-win, you know. But if you're one of the sons of hell, well, you're probably sitting there rubbing your hands. But as
you're
far
big
as,
into DuPont, you're trying to figure out where to get rid of your waste products, then
yes, and you get paid for it. You know, you've got to pay to dump it. Yeah. So yeah.
I think it's a byproduct of a manufacturing aluminum is what they did. And then they had a, and like I said, get rid of it. So we'll just put it down people's throats and set it out in the river.
Yeah. Who comes up with this stuff? Huh? I wonder what happens if people drink this.
Well, what did Pastor Peter said? They study us like lab rats, you know?
Yeah, they do.
Definitely some more peer-reviewed science there going on. Oh, yeah, this is great. We can make money.
Well, again, it's that awakening. See, people are waking up to what's going on. Got this news. I want to follow up with it, and then I'll turn it back over to you guys. Laramie, Wyoming, November 9th. The University of Wyoming girls volleyball will not play its scheduled conference match at San Jose State University on Thursday, November 14th. Per conference policy, it will be recorded as a forfeit and a loss. And that's because San Jose State cheats and they have a transgender player. And this is the second time University of Wyoming has said, we're not going to play. I think that's a dozen teams now that have said no. And so, again, it's good stuff. People are waking up. People are waking up to not playing transgenders. They're waking up to vaccinations. They're waking up, praise God, to the stinking fluoride in the water. And that's good. That's good. Good stuff.
Well, we've got to remember that nobody, no one can separate us from the love of God and the power of God. It's got to be us. You know, we're the ones that choose to go against him, go away from him, and to disconnect and unplug when making those choices. And on the same token, when we choose him, we plug into that. And whenever we have that order in our households, ourselves being the first one that has to be in order as the men. When we have that order and whenever we're under that covering, we're abiding in the rock.
Amen.
And they can't beat us.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left, and we'll have some closing comments and thoughts. But I want to encourage people to be positive and to continue to press on. I think that it is time for us to rise and thresh and continue to spread the truth of the gospel and spread the truth of who we are, spread the truth of baptism for the remission of sins in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that's been on my heart, and I feel like there's a lot of people that are opening up and awakening to that. And I've talked a little bit about, an 81-year-old cowboy that was, I called him a knothead for a long time, just because I could argue with him on that subject. And 2 weeks ago, it was, and I really believe it was an anointing of a Holy Spirit. It was something that God did. I didn't do it, because his heart was opened and his eyes were opened. And it was a miracle to me and to my family and to his family. And we baptized this man, and we're still giving praise to the Lord for that, because there's nothing that I was going to ever say that was going to change that man. So it was proof that God is working. He's working, and there's an anointing that's going out. There's a spiritual change in the land. I think that there's hearts that are being softened and broken, and people are listening to the truth more and more all the time. So be positive. My son Justice, he's been helping me quite a bit in the shop and around the place here quite a bit lately. And one of his things is that I've been teaching him is he goes home and tells his mom and his sister and his brothers it just about every day. And he says, we just got to do a little bit better than we did yesterday. We're gonna try a little bit harder. We're gonna do better than we did yesterday. And that's what we need to do as Christian soldiers, as men of God, as fathers, as husbands, Whatever we do, we need to do a little bit better every day.
You know, I think I see a lot of this denominationalism going away. You know, these Amishmen, they voted for Trump, you know, and I don't think they've ever voted in their life. And I seen a parade of them going down the road in their buggies. They had a American flag and a Trump flag, you know. And, I mean, I feel that crossing that denominational separation is happening, which is fine. They're looking, you know, you got to go look for the truth, and it's bigger than your denomination.
Well, look at the fruits that they're showing by being out there in the Appalachians and building these houses for folks for free and doing. I mean, they're not just talking about it, they're doing it. And that means a lot. You know, Jason, to your point of doing a little bit better every day, one of the big things that I had to learn, it was hard, and Mr. Paul helped with it, is forgiving myself, because there's going to be days where we don't do better. And, you know, we got to take and shake the dust off and ask for forgiveness and move on. And, you know, it's hard for us to do that, to actually turn loose of it and forgive ourselves. But we've got to if we're going to be right.
Amen.
You know, I was reading
it. We're out of time.
I was reading
go ahead, Paul.
All right, see ya. Oh, I was reading it in one of the books. I forget where it was, but Paul was having this problem with the established church, or the law and grace, and that was the big thing. We keep the law because of grace, and just don't get it. You know, we are saved by grace, not by keeping the law, and that's just a fact of life. But we keep the law because